Okay, before we go to 44, I just want to read again what Joseph says in chapter 45 and verse 5. And that's not the chapter we're in now, but again, at the time of the reconciliation and at the moment that Joseph makes himself known to his brethren. In verse 5 it says, "Now therefore," this is Joseph speaking, "be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." So there's the son sent before Jacob's salvation, so to speak. And when we come to chapter 50, it's repeated again, and it's repeated in verse 20. "But as for you," this is Joseph, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So that was Joseph, and what Joseph himself knew, and the character of his way of going through life, what he had learned, and to put emphasis on it, how different it is than the statement of Jacob. And we've seen that this is the story of Jacob. And in chapter 42, where he makes the statement, verse 36, "And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And we saw already before, and Deborah is not, and Rachel is not, and Isaac is not. And on top of that, the firstborn going up to his concubine's bed. The sufferings in the land. What he went through in the land in order to understand who the blesser is and where the blessings come from. And at this juncture in Jacob's life, he says, verse 36, "And Jacob, their father," chapter 42, "said unto them, Me ye have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." His mind, his view, his concept of events were not that God was blessing him like Joseph's was. "God sent me before you to save many people alive. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." The knowledge of Joseph, the character of Joseph, of the son, and what the son had been sold into Egypt to accomplish through Joseph and Judah, the salvation of Israel, of Jacob. This is the story of Jacob. "All these things are against me," he said. No, they weren't. God was working. And God had, over and above all things, orchestrated these events that he interpreted as being against me to bring him into the understanding that all the blessings came by way of the blesser. And it makes me to think of Romans 8:28, doesn't it? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according. according to his purposes. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12 concerning the mindset of the Lord Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, to bring to us, to Israel, the knowledge that God is above all things, and in evil, and all evil, he is working these things for good. For the joy that was set before him, he innocently endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The heart of Joseph to bring his brothers and his father to his own understanding, his own interpretation of who God is, the blesser. And all that he does is to fit us for blessing, to give us all things, and that we, in the possession of all things, will never forget where the blessings came from. Can you imagine anyone getting to glory, and as they get to glory, still thinking, it was my wit, it was my scheming, it was my tactics that brought me here?
God forbid.
That will never, ever, ever happen to anyone who will be in glory. And thank God that when it comes to this time, even of Israel's salvation, Israel's great blessedness of looking back and seeing how God sent the Son before them to not only save many people alive, but to ultimately, by his ministry, bring Jacob, his father, Israel, into the likeness of his own son, Joseph, the innocent sufferer, and as we shall see now, Judah, the willing sufferer, vicariously offering himself to be taken in the place of Benjamin as a slave. What a lovely thing that is, isn't it? And so here we come to Genesis chapter 44. And we read, and he commanded, now they've come back. Now finally, because Judah offers himself as surety for Benjamin, we heard how Benjamin is the bridge. He's the key. He's the Benoni, son of my sorrow, that will be used to bring Jacob to Benjamin, son of my strength, son of my blessedness, son of my right hand. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, but before I go there, I want to backtrack a minute and remember that we are dealing with the story of Jacob. This is the story of Jacob. This is the story of that nation that God had promised to Abraham. I will make of thee a nation. And by this nation and the seed from that nation shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so when we think of Jacob, we want to think of, first we go back to Abraham. And Abraham came into the land. And after he was in the land, Abraham went to Egypt. And from Egypt, God rescues Abraham and brings him out of Egypt back into the land with great wealth. So these patterns are consistent with the character of this nation throughout history. And so when we think of Abraham himself, he was brought into the land, he went out of the land into Egypt, and then he was brought back into the land. But now we see even a further progression, which we have found in Jacob. Jacob began in the land. And because of his treachery against his brother Esau, he was sent out of the land. And he went to Padan Aram. And there we know what his dealings were with the Gentiles and what the effect of Jacob amongst the Gentiles was. And the whole thing ended because of his greed, because of his love for money, because of his covetousness and so on. He had to flee from Padan Aram, and the only place he could go was back into the land. So Jacob begins in the land. He's out of the land. He's brought back into the land. And then what are we going to find? That he leaves the land again. That's in chapter 46. That's when he goes to Egypt to find Jacob, to find Joseph. And there he has 17 years in Egypt with Joseph. How thankful I am that when it comes to you and me, and we're going to be given all things one day, we're not going to be left alone to handle it, are we? We're going to have our Joseph with us, aren't we? We're going to have our Judah with us, aren't we? And we shall be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when it comes to the administration of all this wealth, after we've been equipped, so to speak, by the disciplines and the trainings of God, like Jacob has to be, oh, thank God when we're given all things, we're not going to be left to ourselves to handle it. We're going to have our Lord Jesus with us for all eternity. And he himself is the guarantee that never again shall we confuse the blessings for loyalty to the blesser and to whom we owe it all to. So Jacob in the land, Jacob by his treachery out of the land, amongst the Gentiles, the disaster amongst the Gentiles, what Israel has done through its history, its problems with money, its problems with greed, its problems with wanting to have the top place, to have the blessing, to have that foremost privilege, and what it has caused. And now Jacob himself has to flee because of the Gentiles, and the only place he has to go is back in the land. And he's back in the land, and now we're looking at the tremendous disciplines in the land, the sufferings of Jacob back in the land. Every other suffering before that pales in comparison to what Jacob will endure in the land. And the time of Jacob's trouble is coming, and it's coming for them where? In the land. And then now Joseph is brought in the land, out of the land, back in the land to Joseph, out of the land again. And the end of Genesis is going to be how the Gentiles with Joseph and the Egyptians bring Jacob back to the land, to the cave of Machpelah, there to await the coming of the great deliverer himself. Wonderful, isn't it? So these are important things that we got to get a hold of. This is the story of Jacob, and it coincides with history, the wonder of the Word of God, and how we see this mark throughout all these stories in Genesis that mirror the pattern of what history has been and where it's all going. One day shall all Israel be saved. And if her casting away was riches to the Gentiles by way of the rejected son sold to the Gentiles, blessing the Gentiles, the son amongst the Gentiles, provoking Israel to jealousy, to envy, This is what Paul said was in his heart as he went to the Gentile, that the conversion of the Gentiles to the God of Israel would provoke Israel to jealousy. And the warning in Romans 11, be not wise in your own conceits, thinking that, well, now we've got it all. The son is ours. No, he's not. He's Jacob's son. And one day he will bring his people, his own that rejected him, to himself. And they then shall be like him and trained and equipped with him to bring untold blessings to the whole earth. If their falling away was riches to the Gentiles, what shall their regathering be, their salvation be, but a literal life from the dead? The glory of the millennial kingdom with our Lord Jesus Christ here with Israel saved, blessing to all the nations. Now, in chapter 44, at this time, they come back, and as we saw, the feast and Benjamin being the key, his treatment of Benjamin at the end of chapter 43, and where he sets them there with himself to eat with him, and he set them before them, and he brings and sits them down according to their birthright and all the way to the youngest Benjamin. And the men marveled at the whole affair, opening their eyes to something more than their actions, than their scheming and so on, and their treachery. And verse 34, and he took and sent messes unto them from before his table, as we heard. But it's interesting what he does at that table, doesn't he? He gives to Benjamin five times as much as he had given any of them. And he's observing them, isn't he? This is Joseph. Joseph bringing his own to himself and bringing his own to be like him. Again, we think of the story of the nation of Israel. Abraham's descendants according to the flesh in the land, who will not be heirs with Abraham's spiritual descendants according to faith. And here he again gives Benjamin more than any of them, and he observes them. He is dealing with them to see if there's been repentance, bringing them to repentance, seeing what the reaction is to the portion that he has given to Benjamin. And now he sends them back, doesn't he? And as he sends them back with the corn and with Benjamin and with Simeon, before he does that, well, he sends them back, but he commands the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. Again, the issue of money. When they had sold him, they had sold him under Judah's direction. Let's not kill him. It's stupid to kill him. Let's what? Sell him for profit. Their attitude to money. Back to Jacob in Padan Aram. The problems with money and material possessions here and now. And when the Lord Jesus come, even on the road to Emmaus, after he had been crucified and he appears to his own, what do they say to him? Well, we thought he would deliver Israel. And what they were saying was not that he would save Israel from sin and from the treachery of Israel's character, but that he would take Israel and elevate Israel in an unregenerate condition to supremacy above all the nations. They wanted him to reign then. And even around the table in that upper room, you remember their attitude. We want to sit with you at your right hand and at your left hand. This quest and desire to have the supremacy, to have all the privilege and the blessing for themselves. How can an attitude like that ever be turned into blessedness to others before ourselves? And so it was for that reason that they took the Lord Jesus, because he wouldn't be king. And they crucified him. They didn't want anything to do with a king like that. They had no concept of what and how God's blessings would come. That wasn't new. That would later happen with Moses. That was Moses' problems. And you remember the three divisions in Moses' life, and how when Moses was 40 years of age, he thought that they understood that he'd be their deliverer. And even Moses' thinking was such at the beginning of the book of Exodus that when he saw an Egyptian smiting a Jew, what did he do?
Killed him.
He killed the Egyptian. But Moses had to learn a lesson, didn't he? That Jews, well, they're no better than Gentiles, you know. In fact, the most wicked nation that has ever come upon the face of the earth in that sense has been the most privileged nation. And they murdered their own deliverer. And Moses the next day saw a Jew doing to a brother Jew what the Egyptian had done. Well, he'd gone there and killed the Egyptian, hadn't he? And when he rebuked his brother and he said, how you smite a Jew? You're a Jew. And what did the man say to him? Who made you a judge over us? Huh? Are you going to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptian? And what did Moses have to do? He had to go. Because if he didn't go at that time, they'd sell him out to Pharaoh. And oh, the story of Moses' training and the preparation of the nation under the affliction in Egypt to be made ready to receive the deliverer. So here now, Joseph sends him back and tells his steward, go and put my cup, verse 2, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. This is something interesting here, the cup. And again, not to cross an ocean and not to go nuts, but Lord put a cup before you and me. And he told you and me, this do in remembrance of me. The cup. The cup. And oh, what this cup of divination will do. And what this cup of divination put in Benjamin's sack will reveal. All the glories of what will be made manifest by that cup being put in Benjamin's sack. And now, the steward did as Joseph commanded him, and as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away and their asses, and when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, hurry up, follow after them, and when you overcome them or overtake them, say unto them, why have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And in my mind, that cup, and in that mindset, the cup of divination, well, who was Joseph? Oh, the wisdom of Joseph. It was his ability at divination, at the interpretation of dreams, of seeing things no one else saw. Huh? That was the key to his rise to power and to glory. And so, to the Egyptian mind, this is the cup of divination. I don't know what Joseph said or what the Egyptians thought, but this was his cup. And we heard about his wisdom and his administration and his knowledge and his preparation to save many people alive. Joseph, exalted by this ability to foretell the future and to administer resources as a faithful steward, all the riches given to Joseph never changed his character. We're back to it. He knew the difference between the blessings and the blesser. And now he says, take the cup, put it to them, and give it to them, put it in the sack of the youngest. And verse 8, well, what they say, verse 7, and they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words, God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. So when it comes to this cup, let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And here the cup and their attitude is, we'd never do such a thing. God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold the money which we found in our sack's mouth. We brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? Excusing themselves. Never. We'd never do such a thing. We think of the Lord Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. And he's in the upper room. And on the night that he was betrayed, when he took the cup, didn't he? What did he say? One of you will betray me. And what was their reaction? Is it I? But in what way? Is it I? Could it be me? No. You're not insinuating I could do such a thing, are you? Huh? You're not saying it can be me. Is it I? Is it I? I can only picture as he then takes them in their self-excusing. I'm not capable of such a thing. We're not capable of such a thing. Didn't we come back with the money that we found in our sacks? And then the things people say. And this is an interesting thought throughout this whole book of Genesis. And again, my time now, I struggle with it. But the things people say. Well, we heard what Reuben would say. Take my sons and kill them. The things people say. And the things that Rebecca had said to Jacob when she moved him to deceive Esau. Let the blame be upon me. Let the curse be upon me. Little did she understand, she'd never see her Jacob again. And what about Rachel? Give me children or else I die. And we talked earlier, what would have happened if 2 years before the famine hit and Pharaoh had his dreams, had remembered, and what would have happened then, you say? Well, what would have happened to Rachel if at the time she wanted children? Obviously, she had a physical problem with childbearing, to the point that the second one she bore cost her life. The mercies of God in the whole thing, the timing of the whole thing. But anyway, the things people say. And here they come with verse 9, what they say. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found. Is it I? You're not implying I could be the one that betrays. With whomsoever thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according unto your own words. Wow. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. And I think of all those brothers there, all of them. You know, they must have thought, I ain't going to find a cup here. We're not capable of such a thing. Yeah. 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 And you know, and I want to be careful here. I don't want to get in trouble, like, you know, Sam McHale says. But Sam McHale, you know, he's a big shot. I mean, Sam, my goodness. Sam's got a great job. He got a great business. Me, I'm a little old, you know, to this day. I get in trouble, I get cut off, man. No more gifts, no more fellowship. And poor old Henry, He can't pay his mortgage. You know how that goes. You know? And he said, now, also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily, hurry up, go look through all the sacks. Took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the, here we go again, the elder. Now you can imagine when Reuben, his sack's clean. You think there was a doubt. I wonder, could he have stolen it? And you know, that issue's important at the Lord's Supper again, isn't it? Get your eyes off your brother. Get your eyes off of him. And get your eyes off what he does. Because the scripture says, let every man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because whosoever eats of this and takes this privileged sop, like he extended it to the betrayer, Judas, the token of everlasting friendship and loyalty. And on what terms am I allowed to reach forth and take that privileged place? Of greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He considers me his friend. And how dangerous that is, because I am capable of treachery and disloyalty to him through and through. And so here he goes from the oldest to the youngest, and you can imagine as they're thinking, you know, hey, we're fine. And he searched, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Do you think any of them would have thought that it would have been in Benjamin's sack? But it was in Benjamin's sack. What would they do now? Would they take the blessings? Would they take the money? Would they take the food? No, they didn't. And they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? Wot you not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say? There's Judah again taking that lead. What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. The cup of divination. What that cup reveals. What that cup manifests. And behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And Joseph said, God forbid. I'll never do that. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. And now we have Judah and Judah's speech. And it's Judah in the twin ministries of Joseph and Judah. Joseph, the innocent sufferer. Joseph, the faithful steward. Joseph, the one who all the wealth could not change his priorities of being the faithful, innocent steward, loyal to the God who had exalted him. And he says, now Judah, then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Can you imagine how many years had gone by? What is it, 20 years since they had sold Joseph into Egypt? 21 years. And for 21 years, that father, having been lied to and deceived by that rent coat with goat's blood, as we heard, that father who said, I will carry this sorrow down to my grave, an anguish that broke the heart and almost killed that man. And for 21 years, not a one of them had a concern for the father sufficient to get up and say, Dad, we lied to you.
Yeah.
Dad, this is what we are capable of. Dad, this is what's in our nature. Oh, God, help us as we come together to break bread. And God, help us to be careful with the way this thing's been presented, that this is the worship meeting. And you know, I don't know about you, but worshipers are wonderful people. Aren't they? I mean, here we worship. Don't we feel good about ourselves, about the way we sing and the way we praise and the way we come together every first day of the week? We're the obedient ones. We're the ones that wouldn't do the bad thing. We're the ones that we worship. Oh, how good we feel about ourselves. God help us with self-deception, isn't it? And James himself will later talk about that. The New Testament, Jacob, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Anyway, as this goes on, Judah, this is his speech. And where was I? I even lost my place. Okay. Verse 23. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, and you see my face, you shall see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we'll go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. 21 years. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that my father's life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. I can't do that to my father. Is it Judah? The one who said, sold it, sell him. And let's make profit out of it. And take the coat and dip it in blood and say to the dad, he's rent in pieces. 21 years. I can't go back without the lad. It will kill my father. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For I became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, he says to Joseph, I pray thee, let thy servant abide here instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come unto my father. Judah offering himself to be a suffering slave willingly for the sake of saving his brother Benjamin, that his father Israel might not die. And it was at this very moment, wasn't it, that Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. They shall look on him whom they pierced. And now the cup, the consecrated cup of chapter 44, will be the means for the revelation of Joseph, the exalted one, whom they sold as their brother. Peter picks up on this, doesn't he? 1 Peter chapter 2. And we read verse 12. Let's start there. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it innocently, that's Joseph, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
Now here's Judah, the vicarious sufferer, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, showing us the path to the throne, the Lord Jesus himself, who came before us and trod the path on this planet. Ought not the Christ to have suffered and then to enter his glory? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Judah, the one to whom the scepter was given, and the lawgiver would not go from between his feet until the one who is worthy of it comes. None other than our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the innocent sufferer, who, as we heard, though being found in the form of God, thought it not something to be held unto. We were all like Benjamins, weren't we? We were all doomed, were it not for him. And he left heaven's glory for the sakes of the likes of us, not only as the innocent sufferer, suffering wrongfully, but now vicariously as Judah, offering himself a ransom that Benjamin might live and Israel not die. Blessed Savior, blessed God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it if it is not him who suffered for us that is the means and the way, not only by which he has set the footsteps that we should follow in his steps, but has won our hearts and subdued our rebellion, that we might submit ourselves to his rule and government, our blesser, all at his expense, as he equips us, trains us, and fits us to be where he is. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there I might be also. I think of the words of Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of him who loved me and gave himself for me. Blessed be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Now and forevermore.
So, the beauty of it, isn't it? Joseph gone before him to make Israel, his father, and his brothers like unto himself, that they, knowing who they owe every blessing to, might not think they need to scratch and kick and fight to always get the supremacy, but they can pour themselves out because God is our blesser. How lovely, as Jacob gets there, the first thing he does when he meets Pharaoh is he blesses him. Glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to be a blessing to all, because he will never fail to bless us and keep us blessed forever and ever and ever again. Let's sing, what is it, number 195, is it, in the black book?
And is it so?
Yeah.
I think it is 195.
Yeah.
So I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all likeness brought. O Jesus, Lord, who loved me like to thee, fruit of thy womb with me to this.
You can finish it.